First, our next guest is a Milwaukee bookfluencer. That's an influencer who writes about books. She shares her love of reading on the Instagram account Always Black, which she runs for Penguin Random House. Cree Miles celebrates Black literature, from classics like Toni Morrison and James Baldwin to new authors like Mateo Ascarapor. She hosts weekly Drop Everything and Read sessions with her followers, invites people to answer prompts like poorly explain your favorite book, and asks for the book equivalents of her favorite songs. And each week she shares a new word she grabbed from a book that she's reading and then writes a song about it. Here she is rapping about the word clandestine, which she got from the novel Cherish Farah by Bethany C. Morrow.
I just want to do a little quick artistic note and let y'all know that the word is clandestine. I will be pronouncing it a little differently throughout the song, but it's clandestine. I don't want y'all out here looking wild. Clandestine, done secretly, done privately, done covertly. You feel me? Clandestine. All right, let's go. C-L-A-N-D-E-S-T-I-N-E, done secretly.
Clandestine.
And when you do it, can't nobody know about it. It's clandestine. You should unpack how you really feel about it.
Clandestine.
I don't have really.
All right, we're going to have some fun with books, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite book written by a Black author or a favorite Black author? Are you reading anything good right now? What is on your list of books to read this summer? What kind of things do you look for good summertime reading? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Cree Miles is the curator of Penguin Random House's Instagram account, Always Black. She's also the creator of the Black Like We Never Left book club. Miles has been nominated for a Webby and won a Shorty Award, which honors work on the internet. Cree, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so, happily embarrassed that you played that word of the week.
I love to happily embarrass people. It's what the show is all about, really. Can you tell us a little bit, if we go and check out Always Black on Instagram, what are we going to find there?
So, as you mentioned, I do host, weekly sessions dedicated to reading time for adults, and I'm constantly promoting the new books by Black authors that are coming out of Penguin Random House, and then just the niche stuff of the Black community, the Black reading community. I just put up a reel about it was a 9-second review of Beloved, and if you haven't read the book, you don't get it, but if you read the book, you get it, and you thought it was hilarious. So that type of stuff, you know.
Part of what's fun about this is, you know, we think of reading as a solitary activity, unless maybe you join a book club. It seems like you're building a community of people who love reading.
Yeah, I think that was really important to me, because, you know, my whole book influencer journey started after I read Bluest Eye and just needed people to talk about it with. And so now that there is just a community of dedicated people who love talking about books, I even through my travels, when I've had to link up with an influencer or an author and we go out for dinner, we literally just talk about books for 2 hours. And just to have a whole community of people where that's all you do is it's super fun.
You know, sometimes I think, you know, we might love kids' books when we're kids, and we grow out of it, or we go in stages of reading where we fall away from it as grownups. Can you help inspire, maybe rekindle that love of reading for us grownups?
Reading is so important to me, and I was just tweeting about this. I just feel like we're just in a pandemic of anti-intellectualism, and I think a lot of people think if you're only reading things of substance, if you're reading heavy nonfiction or nonfiction about real estate or et cetera, et cetera. But I think grownups especially forget that we live our lives in stories. And so to have a greater expanse of stories to pull from makes your brain stronger. So it makes you think better. I really believe that.
We're talking to Cree Miles, curator of the Instagram account Always Black. She, as you hear, is encouraging us to read, and she promotes Black authors and Black literature in particular. You could join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. If you want a recommendation, if you have a recommendation, 800-642-1234. Cree, according to the numbers, the publishing industry skews white. At Penguin Random House, where you're doing this Instagram account, 76% of the books they published between 2019 and 2021 by white authors. Can you talk about your goals to promote specifically Black authors, past and present?
Sure. I mean, I think when it's been, I can speak for myself. When I started this journey, I was fairly confident that like the Black canon had already been written. And now that I'm deep up to my neck in this work, I realize that it's being written real time right now. And there are like phenomenal authors creating amazing work that everybody should know about. And I think the more Black authors that we get on shelves, even it'll be even more impactful.
You sent us a list of some recommendations for the summer, and you've already spoiled one of them, Toni Morrison, The Bluest Eye. And this is, as you said, a book that really got you started down this path. Why was this such a game changer for you?
It really is what people say about like you don't like a lot of times. I know when I've talked to Black people, Black women, LGBTQIA folks, the things that we're given in school, you don't necessarily see yourself, and so you think the things that you're experience are these really specific things that no one else is going through, which is why like you don't even have language for the stuff. But after I read Bluest Eye, it was the first time where I was like, okay, I'm not crazy. All of the things that I know I was experiencing was real. And it was even more sobering that the book, like, because I read this book like 6 years ago, right? And it came out like in 1970, I think. So, like, the fact that it's still so relevant is just telling, like, it makes your experience more universal and less lonely. I think that's why it's important.
One of your missions in life, as I understand it, is to get people who don't think they're gonna like Toni Morrison to try some Toni Morrison. Can you tell us more
Yeah.
about that?
Well, you know, my whole thing is like when people are listening to a phenomenal singer, like you're like, I can't listen to Freddie Mercury. He's too good. I can't listen. And it's like, I think people say that about the best writers too. And it's, yes, you can, just because they're really good. Part of the reason they're really good at their craft is because they make the complicated thing accessible. So you can totally enjoy Toni Morrison. You might have to slow down. You might have to engage in some like, you might have to engage your brain in a way that you usually don't, but that doesn't mean that you can't read and enjoy the book.
We heard from Kim on the Ideas Network Facebook page. It's Lot by Brian Washington was the first time I read a book by an African American author and thought, this book was clearly not written for me as a Midwestern white person. Kim goes on, that sort of blew my mind in a good way. I'm sure I'm late to the game in realizing this, but it left me wondering how many authors of color or other cultures have knowingly or unconsciously changed the way they write in order to meet white culture expectations. Kim concludes, definitely was a worthwhile read for me in so many ways. Interesting comment, Cree. What do you think?
I mean, most authors that I read, like the goal is to not center the white gaze. That's all Toni Morrison talked about when she was writing, and she sometimes got chastised about it. Like, when are you going to stop writing about Black things? But I do think part of the point of diversifying our shelves is to to show that no matter who the story is centering, a lot of human experiences are universal. So it doesn't have to be a white man for all of us to see ourselves. Everybody should also be able to see themselves in a little Black girl or a little Latina boy, because that is how we build empathy.
Let's get back to some of your summer reading suggestions. I'll let you go where you want. You've got some older ones on your list and some brand new stuff. Hit us with a couple.
Okay, so Real Life by Brandon Taylor, what is I read it a year late, and I know that he's writing a new book right now because I stalk all his socials and he turned in the manuscript. But he's wonderful, especially for this crowd, because the story actually takes place in a fictional collegiate town that is exemplified off of the University of Wisconsin, because he studied I think it was chemistry there until he got accepted into the Iowa's Writers' Workshop. And so that's where he became a writer. And it takes place, it's my favorite type of novel. It's a campus novel. It takes place during one weekend. It centers a queer Black man. It's l so masterful. Like, I can't even. And then the other one that I mentioned, the other backlist that I mentioned, On Beauty by Zadie Smith, is the book that I always recommend when people say that they want to read more, but they don't know where to start. Again, as I said, I am a sucker for a campus novel. This is also a campus novel. Zadie Smith is brilliant. I don't have like another word for it, because she gives us this like realistic fiction, campus novel, domestic fiction, but it's still like highbrow. So like, it's just all about all of these interpersonal relationships and people working through the different family dynamics. She's really masterful at centering multiracial families. So she does that in On Beauty as well. And so the new releases that I mentioned, Shine Bright by Danielle Smith, it's four books behind me and I'm still like obsessed. It's her very intimate portrait of Black women in pop. Danielle is a like prominent music journalist. She was the editor-in-chief of Vibe. She worked at Billboard. She interviewed Whitney Houston. She's interviewed Janet Jackson, Mariah Carey, all of them. Oh my gosh, excuse my dog.
That's okay. We love dogs on the show.
But she talks about, she goes into deep detail about like what it takes to create a pop hit, because the formula isn't as simple as a great song and a great voice. It like, there's kissing babies. There's a lot of politics behind immortalizing a song. And then she just talks about the influence that Black women have had on the pop industry, and about arguments about why pop has kind of sometimes been considered not the most sophisticated genre, even though it should be up there with the rest of them. I was obsessed. And then she weaves in her personal story. She grew up in Oakland. She went to a school of the arts. Like, it's really dope. Civil Rights Queen by Tamiko Brown Nagin. It centers Constance Baker Motley, who was the civil rights attorney in the 60s, who argued a lot of the cases that desegregated the higher institutions of learning in the South, like Ole Miss and University of Alabama, University of Georgia. And I do not understand why she is not a household name. So I'm pushing it out everywhere, because Tamiko is a professor at Harvard and has done extensive research on Constance. And I learned so much. Like, I learned things that I just feel like we should all know. So that's why I'm passing on the book. It's hefty. It's a hefty nonfiction, but it's totally worth it.
We're talking to Milwaukee. We'll pick up just a minute. We're talking to Milwaukee-based bookfluencer Cree Miles about her Instagram account, Always Black, which celebrates a Black literature and, as we're hearing, nonfiction as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a book or an author to share, something you want to ask about. What makes a good summertime read for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or join the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation about Black literature with Cree Miles from Milwaukee. She's the curator of Penguin Random House's Instagram account called Always Black. She's sharing recommendations with us, and you can too if you'd like, at 800-642-1234. We want to hear about books you love from Black authors, books you've maybe learned from or that made an impression on you. Or you can get a recommendation at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Hearing from more of you online than in person here, Tim on Facebook writes, suggests Home Going by Ya Jossi. And Pete writes, Poppy, the autobiography by, baseball player David Ortiz. Cree, you were giving us some recommendations. Pick up where you left off.
First, I have to shout out Ya Jossi. True. I haven't read Homecoming, but I read her second one, Transcend the Kingdom, and 10 out of 10. She's brilliant. The last thing that was on my recommendation list was the only book that I haven't read on this list, but I know that it's going to be good because I've read every other book by the author. Okweke Emezi, You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty. They write everything, and this was their first romance novel. And so the fact that they write like highbrow literary books, and then also like, I mean, the romance novel is getting a lot of buzz, so I think if there's any, like, everyone needs to pick that up. I haven't read it yet because it's not out of Penguin Random House, and I've kind of had to do all of that, but I'm picking it up at the end of this week. I'm super excited about it.
Now, I gotta ask you, I read a lot for work, to prepare for interviews, and I read a lot for fun on my own time. Does it, since your job in part now is reading, does it make it less fun, or is it still enjoyable for you?
It's still amazing. It is like when I had to read Civil Rights Queen, I felt like I was in school for a little bit. Like, it's this really thick nonfiction book. But then all of the things that I got out of the book, it was totally worth it. And then the other part is like this last week I was reading a romance novel. So like I get paid to do that. So it's super, it's all rewarding.
Excellent. Now, speaking of genres, say a particular radio host was a big science fiction and fantasy fan. Do you have any recommendations? So like, this is not controversial. N.K. Jemisin, I mean, she's won massive amounts of awards in the genre. I'll read her laundry list if she publishes it. You could talk about N.K. Jemisin or anybody else you might recommend.
Okay, first, I want to know, what is your favorite book by N.K. Jemisin?
Okay. So the Broken Earth trilogy there, a little heavier. Yeah. I liked a lot. That's like more serious. 100,000 Kingdoms, it's still like kind of dark in some ways. I had a lot more fun with that one. So maybe depending on my mood, you know?
You know, I've only read Fifth Season and I was obsessed, but I just haven't had a chance to go back. Oh. And I know that if you love sci-fi, then you know that N.K. Jemisin is running because Octavia Butler walked. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the one that a lot of people don't know about is Ursula K. Le Guin. And you have, like, my entry point for her always is the word for world is forest. And she's not a Black author. She's a white woman. She recently passed. She was elderly, I think in, like, 2020 or 2019. But the word for world is forest is a really good entry point to me for her because it's short. But she is masterful. Like, I love – she got me out of my slump when I was in college. I picked up the discipline by her and was obsessed.
Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula Le Guin controversial.
Yes.
It's on one of my all-time favorite lists as a science fiction
fan.
Of course. Cool. I got to join your book club and stuff. Seems like we're on the same page on some of this. So, Clay, you mentioned, you know, sometimes with any sort of literary canon, whatever we're talking about, we could think, oh, it's the stuff that was written back then. But you said earlier the Black literary canon is still, you know, it's a living thing. Could you talk about who you see kind of on the cutting edge of that?
Yeah, so one person who I'm always like, this is a hill I die on, that's not even like a controversial hill, is Robert Jones Jr. His debut novel, The Prophets, was shortlisted for the National Book Award, and it centers a queer love story that takes place in the antebellum South between two enslaved men in Mississippi. And when I talked to him about the book, I was like, why? And he said, because the canon needed it. So I wrote it. And it took him like 15 years to write it.
Wow.
But it's a masterpiece. So that one for sure. And like anything by Akweke Emezi. And of course, Ta-Nehisi Coates. And of course, Zadie Smith. Like I could go on and on and on.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Ed is with us in Duluth. Hi, Ed.
Hello. Hello, Cree.
Hi, Ed. And
thank you. Thank you for taking the call. Am I supposed to say something
now?
Yeah.
What did you want to bring up, Ed?
Well, when she was talking about her reading Black authors, I think one of the motivations for a lot of people is in line with lifestyles of the rich and famous, in the sense that we're interested, or the public seems to be interested, in people who are different from ourselves. And, you know, having lived abroad also and stuff, understanding Black culture and the experience, you know, reading books that really give you an insight into that is really invaluable, I think, for people who are like me, white, middle class.
And Ed, do you have specific authors you'd point toward?
Yes. James Baldwin, both his fiction and nonfiction, The Fire Next Time, Giovanni's Room, you know, there was a couple others. And then Langston Hughes is a poet. I like writing poetry. And Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man just knocked me off my feet.
Ed, thanks a lot for calling in. Cree, jump in on any of those.
Ed, honestly, I'm just, I love my job because I get to do things like this and talk to people like you, Ed, a white man in Duluth who is here celebrating James Baldwin. That literally, I was smiling ear to ear listening to you talk. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that, Ed. Okay, what is on your stack right now, Cree? What is in arm's reach and you're going to read it maybe starting this week or weekend?
Okay, so it's super. I do a weekly talk with authors on Always Black, and I'm off for the next 2 weeks, so I get to read whatever I want. And so I'm running to "You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty" by Okwuegh Emezi, and I think I'm gonna start there. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else that I feel like pressing that I need to get to? That's really the top of the priority list for me. Oh my goodness. I haven't read any Toni Morrison this year, and I try to read at least one novel a year. So I might tackle Paradise, maybe.
And you, I gotta ask, are you a rereader? Every once in a while, I'll reread something. I usually don't.
Well, I wasn't until I did my first readathon, and it was the Toni Morrison readathon. So I reread Beloved. And I was like, wow, I should definitely reread this more often. I'm thinking, because I would eventually like to write more. And so I think that I'm going to just like systematically reread my favorites, like just like reread Bluest Eye over and over again. I think I'm going to do something like that.
Excellent. Cree, thanks a lot for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
Cree Miles is the curator of Penguin Random House's Instagram account, Always Black, which has won a Shorty Award and been nominated for a Webby. She joined us. She's from Milwaukee, by the way. I should re-mention that. She joined us to talk about Black literature. Lots of recommendations there. You can keep sharing yours over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.